But right now, let's get to the Rude Guest Hotline. Rude, the most reliable heating and air conditioning products in the DMV. And let's welcome onto the program our guy, Sean Sharif, who, as I mentioned, is local ties and many, many years ago was one of our colleagues here at The Fan. He's been on in Dallas and 105.3 in the mornings for years. Sean, it's good to talk to you again, brother. How are you?
What's up, guys? Thanks for having me.
What a wild day yesterday was. So this broke while we were live on the air in the afternoons here on The Fan, but you had to sit around and wait until this morning to chop some wood. What was the show like today?
You know, it was less angry than I thought it was going to be. Everyone, of course, is doing the easy topic of comparing this to Luka. And even though it's the Cowboys and they're, you know, 20 times bigger than the Mavericks, they had time to prepare for this, right, because of all this drama. And then whenever someone leaves town or asks out, you know, as soon as they end up leaving, then everyone turns and they're like, screw you anyway. We're going to boo you when you come back. So it wasn't as much vitriol and anger. When he made his trade request, I did a poll that day, 85% supported Micah Parsons. And then as this drug on and drug on and more drama and more drama, people started turning on him a little bit, saying, I'm just sick and tired of this. We're not winning with him anyway. So why not see what you can get by dealing him? So still a lot of split, mixed reaction, but not as much anger and yelling and screaming from our listeners.
Sean, we had our own ordeal here with Terry McLaurin, and at the end of it, kind of no matter what, it was always like, yeah, they're not trading him. Right? Like, it's going to end with him playing here. Did you feel that way about Michael or Micah? I have to get my pronunciation right. did you feel that way about Micah, and when did it turn from that to, oh, my God, they might trade him?
Good question. Yes, I think we all felt it was going to get done. Jerry Jones there's a saying around here. If Jerry Jones, you know, wants to keep that player, he's going to keep him. Amari Cooper, we thought was going to go to you guys when he hit free agency, right? You don't let someone hit free agency. He still ended up back here. Dak Prescott, you're running out of franchise tags. You're going to play around with your franchise quarterback. They end up keeping Dak Prescott. So we just thought that it was going to be exactly the same thing. It really honestly, guys, feels like the turning point was back in March or April when Jerry made this offer. And Jerry talked about this last night. It wasn't widely reported, but a couple of us knew behind the scenes that not only did Micah, this is according to Jerry, Micah engaged Jerry, and then through Jerry's eyes, Micah lied about that in the trade request, right? Like, Micah put that out there and basically acted like he was lured into Jerry's lair. And then it got locked behind him under the premise of talking about leadership and taking over for Tank Lawrence. And then Jerry Jones tricked him into negotiations. Micah wrote that down. He put that out there for the world to see. Well, during that negotiation, according to Jerry, not only did Micah go in there, one of three people who have a cell phone number, Jerry gave it to him, you know, they're boys, father-son relationship, supposedly. After the negotiation, Micah left, came back with a counter and was like, I need this, I need this, I need this. Stephen Jones then dealt with it. So Jerry not only talked with Micah once, Micah left, we think conferred with his agent, came back, asked for more. Jerry gave in, moved off his marks, as he said, and then it still wasn't good enough. And I think that's when it was broken. What one lesson that we're learning all over again in The Gambler, if you guys watch this on Netflix, Jerry's real big on loyalty. And this whole handshake stuff and eye to eye and man to man. And, you know, he had to meditate over Jimmy Johnson because of loyalty. And he still is probably not going to totally be over that going into the grave. And I think he viewed Micah Parsons as an unloyal person who reneged on a negotiation after they sat down twice, had an agreement, and Jerry said, I'm not moving off of it. I think that was really the beginning of the end.
The reaction to this trade, Sean, has been just in a vacuum, right? Did Micah want too much? What does Kenny Clark have left? What's the value of the two firsts? For me, though, the lead needs to be, or from afar, outside of Dallas, the lead is it's a disqualifying batch of business again from Jerry Jones. I watched the Brian Schottenheimer intro presser, every minute of it, and my takeaway was this is an unserious person who can't run this thing anymore. And it just feels to me like this is like the 80-year-old head coach in college who gets to be there as long as he wants while the program falls apart all around him.
Right.
Is this not indicative of, like, you can't screw this up this bad 50 different ways, and this is just how he handles things?
Well, you know, I think, you know, Danny, I think, is the one who said it earlier. The Michael Micah thing, yeah, it's funny, but it's also not funny when you're thinking about an 82-year-old running your football team and the decisions that are being made when he can't consistently get the best player's name correct. Now, before I destroy Jerry, let me give you the side of those. Now, let me ask you guys, as Commander fans in your audience, everyone laughing at the Cowboys yesterday and today and, like, definitely thinking they got fleeced and Dallas is worse off in the East, right? Is that the reaction?
Yeah, pretty much.
Okay. Here's the Cowboys' point of view. Behind the scenes, and we had heard this in Oxnard, they have major questions about, we all know he's an all-world athlete. He's going to track down the quarterback double-digit sacks. He doesn't play the run. Everyone knows you can run at him. Dallas will probably do that when Green Bay comes here week four. And behind the scenes, what they wouldn't say publicly is that they are worried about Micah Parsons coming up short in big moments in playoff games. I think he's got one sack in four playoff games. I'm not justifying it. I'm just giving you their side of things. Mm-hmm. And then he also wears down at the end of the season because he's not the biggest guy. You see Micah Parsons, you're like, how is he throwing around 300-pounders? It doesn't make any sense. Jerry will tell you, now I would also say this. I would not have wanted to pay Micah Parsons $47 million. That's me. The Cowboys can't afford to do that because they screwed up the Dak deal. They gave him 60, which we all say, oh, the next quarterback's going to leapfrog it. Well, guess what? Dak is still, years later, the number one paid quarterback by $5 million. That's how terrible that deal looks. Then they gave Lamb 30. They've basically publicly admitted they regretted the Diggs deal by giving him 20. I'm not paying Micah Parsons $47 million when they have leadership questions. You know, this whole thing laying on the table, a lot of us were like, okay, whatever. It's not a, that was not good for them. They did not find that humorous. They looked at that as an indictment of his leadership. So if we were talking 41, maybe 42 to get ahead of TJ, okay, fine. We all know David Mulugeta, right? He doesn't beat the market by one. He beats the damn thing by four, five, six. Look at the Stingley offer. So I can defend Jerry Jones not giving Micah Parsons $47 million. I can't defend Jerry Jones not getting this done last year when every other team in the National Football League would have done that.
Sean Sharif, 105.3 The Fan in Dallas. That's where I was going to go. Now, I can defend some of this. Like, $47 million is crazy. You can make the case that you're better off not paying one player that, and team building another way works.
Yeah.
But it's terrible value.
They don't have depth here.
No.
You know, their cornerback situation is scary. Their D-tackle situation, I mean, they listed that as the prerequisite, guys, last night. The teams that we were going to deal with had to have two first-round picks and a defensive tackle who could play today. That's how Mozzie Smith has been, obviously, a total bum. He's a bust. Overshown is hurt. Like, this team, they have no running back. So this team has depth issues, so you could easily make that case, Grant, I think, like you were saying, of you can take that and transform into three or four players.
But to that point, like, the value you get back and the timing of it right before, like, trading him now is malpractice because if you do it in the offseason, there's six teams with cap space. I mean, it's just, even if there are ways to defend it, the way they did it was ridiculous. And what you just said, I'm not shooting the messenger. I know this is kind of one of the things they're selling. But when you say, you know, they're worried about the pass rusher coming up short in big games, but yet they've made Dak the highest paid quarterback in the league twice, that's like saying I'm not going to eat an apple because there's sugar in it and then pummeling a box of donuts. Like, give me a break on that.
The what's really maddening about this, I agree with you on the timing. He was asked yesterday, they were asked, why didn't you do this in April? They go, well, we were trying to give him the extension in April. So we weren't sitting there and talking, about trading him. But the thing that's really freaking maddening is the inconsistency of the plan. You cannot give Dak Prescott 60 mil, CeeDee Lamb 30, Trayvon Diggs 20. You cannot, and then trade for George Pickens, and then trade your best player. What the hell? What are you doing? Like, the consistency of it. What are you thinking of your Dak Prescott today? What are you thinking of your CeeDee Lamb? This team's not going to the playoffs. This team is not making the postseason. So you have this win-now window. We all think Dak's going to be here for two more years. You bring in Pickens. We're all excited about the offense. And then you trade the guy who makes your defense per EPA number one in the league when he's on the field and then dead last when he's off the field. So the inconsistency of the plan, now you're going into the reset? Like, now you're going to sit. Why did you even – why did you even get the D tackle who's 30 years old? Like, a lot of us would have just preferred a third rounder instead or a second rounder. But that's Jerry's way of putting that little apple out there to make fans feel like he's not totally punting on the season because, oh, well, now we'll be able to play run defense because we got this tackle from the Packers.
And that's where I wanted to jump to, Sean, is this prognosis for this year. I was kind of sneaky high on the Cowboys. I actually thought the offseason was pretty good. I mean, let alone this Micah Parsons saga. But I could see them catching up to Philly, to Washington, maybe even, you know, being one of those teams you don't want to play and being a 9 or 10 win potential playoff team. Now what?
Well, everyone yesterday is like, oh my God, you're going to have an electric show and your ratings for Friday. And I don't care because I am defeated for the season. I think Micah Parsons, now Vegas isn't going to do this and show this, but I think Parsons is worth 2 wins over the course of a season. So if I had them at 9-8 fringe, maybe getting in as a wild card, we all know what happens in the East, right? Like the numbers say Philly won't win it. Is Jaden going to have a CJ type year? Is it going to be a step back, Washington a lot of pressure to repeat and take the next step? And history says for 20 straight years, someone else is going to win the division, but I still had them around 9-8, maybe 10-7. And I flipped that back 2 games the other way because, man, this defense, they're going to get shredded. Dak Prescott is going to have to keep them in shootouts. And Dak Prescott, before he got hurt last year, did not play well whatsoever when they got their ass whipped multiple times. I'm worried about this thing getting ugly. If they lose the Giants, they got Giants week 2. Because they have to get off to a fast start. They got scrubs early on. They have to be 4-2 to have any shot, any hope. But if they lose to Philly Thursday and somehow lose to the Giants, this place is going to start to burn.
Yeah, that kind of start would be ugly. I want to know about week 4, though. That's going to be, the dramatics. Can you imagine that matchup? Because Washington played him 2 weeks to the day of the trade. Week 2, short week at Lambeau. But week 4, a month from yesterday, is when the Cowboys tangle with the Packers.
I think Mike is going to get booed. I'm just predicting that right now. People are furious that he lied about taking less. You know, Micah Parsons is a wannabe leader. He loves to preach about, and I know people right now are going to be texting, oh, you're just saying that because he left. No, I had a Micah Parsons report 2 years ago that I got destroyed for by these Cowboy homers here who got so ticked off that I said anything about their beloved number 11, that he's a pain in the ass to deal with behind the scenes. Him and Trayvon Diggs, they want Trayvon Diggs out of here yesterday. And then him and Micah go palling around together. Their people, Jerry and Steven last night said it was unanimous amongst the decision makers. Now, I don't know if I totally believe that, but even if I 3/4 of the way believe it, that still says a lot. That he was, they said, what about the locker room? Going to be missing, going to be a problem? And Jerry was emphatic, basically telling everyone, no, addition by subtraction. So you got those things. And then Micah said, I don't need to be the highest paid. I want help around me. I want talent around me. And we saw $47 million a year later how that ended up.
Sean, you're the best, buddy. Appreciate the time today, dude. I know you're swamped.
Thanks, guys. Have a good weekend.
You got it. There's our guy, Sean Sharif. They had a heck of a show and a heck of a day in Dallas.